I went out with the family. We went out as a family yesterday afternoon. And we went visiting one of the most lovely places to visit in Cork. We went to Fulta Island Garden. And for those of you who don't know it, it is a quite remarkable arboretum and quite remarkable garden as a whole. It's attached to a house. And this whole audio is going to be about my reaction to going to this wonderful garden in Cork, and after it, going to another place. So it is actually relevant that I used to work for the National Trust in the United Kingdom, in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, to be precise. And I have spent a lot of my time in National Trust gardens, mixing with National Trust gardeners, head gardeners, junior gardeners, apprentice gardeners, volunteer gardeners. I have been fortunate, incredibly fortunate, to have visited some of the greatest gardens that there are around here. But I'm not a gardener and I'm a pure amateur. But we went to visit and it was magnificent to go into Fulta. The weather couldn't have been better. It was quite remarkable. And the part I'm going to talk to you about now is the experience of visiting the walled garden in Fulta, in the house, or attached to the house. It's not going to be about the arboretum. We didn't go to the arboretum. We actually spent the entire time looking at borders. And the reason we looked at borders was particularly because we have recently had some work done on our garden by a very professional gardener, and we now have a foundation in our garden. It's been transformed from a very basic garden, hardly worthy of the name garden, to a very good platform from which to build. And we were interested, especially my wife was especially very keen on looking at stuff that was in the Fulta garden with a view to having it in our own house. And there is actually nowhere better you could go around Cork, that I know anyway, than to go to the Fulta Island, Fulta House garden, and look at what's growing there, take down notes, take photographs, take notes. It's a very well tagged, if you like, garden. There are little black things giving you the Latin names, hanging off things. So it's a great place to spot something that you love and take it back, look it up on Google Images, try and find out more about it, go to the Royal Horticultural Society website, you know, do all the things. Go to Peter Donegan Gardens, you consult people. It's a terrific starting point. So it was with considerable enthusiasm that I went along yesterday afternoon. And okay, you realize that there's something coming. You realize I'm not going on this very long preamble just to say that the place is great. In fact, I was shattered. I was really and truly disappointed. I felt almost hurt by what I saw in that garden. And I'm talking about now the walled garden. Okay, the grass wasn't cut, and that's no big deal. It wasn't just the walled garden. There's a huge area of grass there. That's no big deal. There's been so much rain in Cork recently that you wouldn't have been able to get the mowers out. And grass that isn't cut can be cut, and that's a doddle, you know, to be honest. There's an awful lot of grass at Fulta. But that's just a matter of getting the old mowers out and getting people to sit on them and getting on with it. But it was the state of the beds that really grieved me. Now, you know, this place is in public ownership. Let's be clear about that. This place is in public ownership and it's managed by the Office of Public Works, the OPW. And I got such a bad impression of the OPW yesterday. It seemed to me as if the place was suffering from, at the very, very best, the best I could spin it would be benign neglect. Frankly, you know, it was everywhere I looked, I saw neglect. I saw roses that were, you know, faded all over the place. Nothing wrong with that, but none of them had been deadheaded. None of the roses had been deadheaded. It just looked an awful mess. I saw beds that had weeds growing in them. They didn't look like they'd had a weeder near them in ages. Now, I speak with an unprofessional eye about the gardens, and I hope that what I saw was just a bad impression given to an amateur. But I was embarrassed. I wouldn't have brought an English person in particular, because the English are so damn in love with their gardens and know their gardens and they are great at gardening. But I wouldn't have brought an English person, Welsh or Scottish for that matter, or Northern Irish, into that garden with pride. I would have had to apologize in advance and said, hey, this is a real higgledy-piggledy place. It's falling apart, but you can see a foundation of a great garden here. Because the foundation, that photo, is magnificent. And without going into a report on particular plants and without having photographs, no point in talking about the, you know, what state the individual plants were, if beds were in. But I was left with a really negative impression, and I jumped to a conclusion. I said to myself, and this is the truth, I said to myself, bloody civil servants running this place. They have no heart, no love of it, and they're letting it run down around their ears just because they ran out of money. Why don't they get volunteer gardeners in Cork to form clubs and units and come in here and work on the gardens if they can't afford to do it themselves? And it would cost a lot of money to hire people to keep on top of the beds. It is a big, big place. But I'm used to the National Trust managing to attract, retain, motivate, develop, and in a kind of way reward voluntary people, volunteers. So I started, you know, railing against the OPW. And I thought, whoever is managing FOTA, and I have no clue about who is the head gardener at FOTA, and I have no clue about the terrible strains under which they're labouring, but I'm just giving it back between the eyes at my disappointment at the place, and I really felt like this is a disgrace. And I said that to myself. I had a few little conversations, one or two conversations with other people who are walking the gardens, and I said, am I being unfair? Does it look run down to you? And they all said, yes, it did look run down. Some said they don't tend the beds and the flower beds, that they're all committed to the arboretum here. And others said, you know, oh, they're having a hard time with public funding. And all I could think of when I hear the public funding thing is, all I could hear in my own mind re-echoing was, volunteers, volunteers, volunteers. This is where you can learn your gardening. This is where you could enjoy mixing with other people who have a passion for gardening. This is where you could adopt, 20 square meters of the garden and make it your own. And, you know, make that. There's so many ways in which you could involve volunteers. There was nobody there taking people on garden tours. There were no leaflets handing out to you to tell you where things were. There was nothing, you know, handed to you to give you the history of the garden. And this was on a splendid Sunday afternoon where the weather was fantastic. Well, there was almost nobody there, to be truthful. Almost nobody there. And I kind of felt, I mean, this is a terrible thing to say. I felt almost glad there was nobody there, you know, because it wasn't ready to be shown off. And I leapt to a conclusion that it was the fact that it was being managed by a public body, the employees of which had no passion for the place. And then we left. And we went to another place. We went to a place called Barry's Court, or Barry Moore Court, and I never heard of this place before. This is not very far away, and it turned out to be another place run by the OPW. And as I went there, I was really on a, you know, rant, state of mind in relation to the OPW. And how wrong I was, how totally wrong I was to make any kind of assumptions based upon information from one location that the rest of the organization was like that. Because as soon as I got to Barrymore Court, or Barrymore Place, God, I better find the correct answer, I was in another world. It is a stunning place. It is run by the OPW in the most wonderful way. And you couldn't go to a better place in Cork. And it's Carrick Tool, for those of you who know the place locally, Carrick Tool. It is literally across the other side of the motorway at the roundabout there. It's about, well, I nearly said 5 minutes walk. Maybe it's 3 minutes in a car, but it's out of the way. I spoke to a guy this morning who runs a visitor attraction in Cork. He better remain nameless, it wouldn't be fair. And he told me he hadn't a clue of it. He'd never heard of it. And he and I, neither of us had heard of this place until yesterday afternoon. The place I'm talking about gets 11,000 visitors, I found out. It has the most marvellous looking tea house, beautifully presented, beautiful cakes, beautiful teas, beautiful coffees, run, managed by somebody who's scrupulous. You can tell immediately that they are a detailed person. Everything is just right. And it was just glorious. And that isn't just it. It isn't just a tea house. What is it? It's also a phenomenal orchard where they have got native Irish apples growing, presented in the way they would have been presented as an orchard, as an essential thing you could look out of the house on in the 17th century. And the orchard consists almost entirely of apples, and there are also a small number of pears and a small number of quince, or quinces, I'm not sure what you should call it. But there is a wonderful little herb garden there. Again, beautifully presented, beautifully curated, you would say. I mean, and the person who does the teas and coffees does the garden as well. I mean, it was obvious that you know, they either had, you know, a whole host of detailed people, but this was done so well, it was just fantastic. You must visit, if you're anywhere near Cork and you're listening to this, or you're travelling to Cork, or you want to see an exemplary place in Ireland managed by the OPW, that is a house, a historic house. I'll come on to the castle that it is in a second. And for those of you who know your small castles in Ireland, it's a bit like a younger version of Ross Castle in Killarney. Again, I haven't got time to go into the details of why I'm so enthusiastic about it, but there was a great guided tour, a great guided tour. A great man took us round, told us what it was like. You know, lots to learn there about murder holes and steps that are deliberately uneven and places you can pour boiling oil out of to fend off attackers, and why the walls are shaped the way they are so that rocks drop down from inside can bounce off the wall and crash into the attackers. Oh dear, I'm in Cove now and I'm in behind the people taking the bins and they're moving slowly, so I'll be late for my meeting. But no, I just want to absolutely make a point against myself. I want to say how wrong I was to generalize from one bit of an organization to another. Especially when I was so confounded by the experience of going to a place which is special, but these places all deteriorate unless they're well managed. The bottom line is that for a house and its garden, you know, feels like it's deteriorating, and the place run by different people from the same organization a few miles down the road, I'm literally talking about, it isn't 5 or 6 miles away, is a place you'd be proud of. I would urge you all, and I would take people there. I mean, okay, I bring standards from the UK to this situation. I bring National Trust standards into how you can present historic buildings, historic gardens, how you can bring vernacular buildings, how you can present them. You know, I bring a set of standards from another place, I admit. You know, I do. I bring an eye that is used to very high standards. And by that I mean world-class conservation work. You know, I was an employee, then I was a consultant for them. I'm not a conservation person. You know, I'm a people person who's mixed with gardeners and loves head gardeners and every kind of gardener I love. And who has made a mistake. And I'm thrilled to discover. And the other thing I discovered was that the OPW has a map of all the places in Ireland you can go to, owned or not owned, managed on our behalf, on behalf of the citizens of Ireland, for the taxpayers of Ireland, by this bit of the public service. And I discovered I'd been to very few of these places. And, you know, I came away thinking, by the way, only €21 to become a kind of a member of this organisation, that's not strictly speaking, but you get a ticket to get into everything for €21. The place, Barry's Court, I wish I could remember for certain the exact name of it, but I'll come back to me in a minute. But it was free to get in. All this wonderful place I'm waxing lyrical about was free. So I'm left, you know, terribly impressed by... It comes down to, doesn't it? It comes down to the eye and the passion of the local person. I mean, okay, leadership matters. You know, don't get me wrong. Leadership and vision and corporate standards and, you know, there's something wrong in the photo situation. And it maybe get rectified very quickly, you know, who knows. But anyway, there we are. Enough from me. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Hello. 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 Are you waiting to go in?
Oh, I'm not waiting. I just wait for my
brother. Ah, right.
I heard the rain stopped anyway.
Thank goodness. Do you know, I was inside. I didn't actually notice how much of it there was. Was there much of it?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it could be worse, as they say, you know.
We had it bad recently, didn't we?
Of course we did. Mallow got an awful hammer and Clonakilty and all them.
Clonakilty, poor old Clonakilty.
Yeah, that'll tell you, like.
Hello, Jerry. Hi.
How are you?
Hello. I'd be good genetic. Thanks, sir.
Did you want to do anything?
No, I've been.